Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
All right, let's get cracking. Well, my message title is called Love from the Kingdom and the Enemy. Now, I said to Pastor David, I better put a comma in there because I just want to tell you that the enemy does not love you. So that's love from the kingdom and the enemy. Amen. Okay. We can easily understand that there are many opposites in existence for us. There's light and darkness, positive and negative, push and pull, up and down, good and evil, etc. But I want to focus on one area to start with, and that's friends and enemies. In life, you will find that you have friends and you will also find that you have enemies. But what really is a friend, first of all? Now, this is my definition. A friend is someone who will stand with you when things get tough. Friends are loyal, friends are loving, and friends want you to succeed. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 17, and I've got this in the New Living Translation, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need. Now, there's a vast difference in knowing someone well and having a true friend. When a crisis arises, the ones left standing beside you are your friends. Now, how many of us have been in a situation like that before? They'll probably be faced with a crisis, and then you're standing there thinking, ah, great, what do I do here? And as soon as you turn around, you notice half your friends have started running. You're like, oh, wait for me. You know, we all get in a situation like that. But now let's focus on enemies. My definition of an enemy is someone who will stand against you, who will attempt to make your life tough. Enemies are rebellious and they are filled with hate. Enemies want to destroy you. Now, there's one enemy I want to highlight that anybody here in the world has, whether you're a Christian or not, and that enemy, of course, is Satan. Satan stands against all who are created in God's image. Amen. So my next scripture here is in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, and again, it's New Living Translation, and it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So if we are not alert when the devil comes, then we'll be devoured. Let's just say, raise your hand, anyone in here who has witnessed anyone in the streets this week being swallowed up by a lion? I hope there's no hands raised in this place today. I really hope not. For anyone who is not alert, this roaring lion can be an addiction, it can be a great sickness, it can even be a great tragedy or loss in our lives, amen? The world needs to be alert, we need to be alert, guys, amen? Now, I'm just going to move on to this kind of second point of my message, which is that there are two kingdoms operating behind the scenes on earth today. There is the kingdom of God, which belongs to us through Christ and only through Christ alone. It belongs to us, guys. It's our kingdom. But unfortunately, there's also another kingdom at work on the earth, and that belongs to Satan. Anyone who does not accept Jesus belongs to the world, which has been manipulated by Satan. And I can prove this to you by giving two scriptures. Mine's are in the New Century Version, but I think we've got them in New Living Translation. The first one is Ephesians 2, verse 2, and it says, yes, in the past you lived the way the world lives, following the ruler of the evil powers that are above the earth. That same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God. And my other one is found in Romans 3, verse 23 to 24. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standards, and all need to be made right with God through his grace, which is a free gift. They need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, I found this very interesting. I think I actually wrote most of this message while I was still in Swaziland. But I was looking up translations and things, and I found that the very name Satan means enemy. the devil, the enemy of God and man. Know your enemy and his intentions, because God's kingdom is going to be attacked in many different ways in these last days, guys. Many different ways. We are called to be the watchmen and the watchwomen, looking down from the castle walls, looking for any sign of danger approaching. So we need to be always alert, always on guard, because things can happen like this. All right. Do you know, this is going to sound really weird, and I actually was speaking to John last night. I asked him if I could put up an image on the thing, but unfortunately I couldn't because of copyright images. But how many of you here have heard of the video game character called Super Mario? He's a little Italian guy. He says, "It's me, it's a Mario." This guy. Well, this is going to sound real silly, but I had a thought about this. Now, in these games, this character Mario has to save a princess from an evil monster called Bowser. And Bowser, to me, looks like the devil. I don't know why. Bowser always kidnaps the princess from her castle, and he takes her to his evil castle. Mario, for me, reminds me almost like a kind of Jesus. He spends the whole entirety of the game just trying to rescue the princess, which is us. Even as Christians, if we are not careful, we can allow the enemy to take us out of our progress towards Christ's kingdom and cause us to backslide into the world's kingdom. Jesus will constantly pursue us until we are back safe in his kingdom. It's not too late to escape Bowser's castle, but do it now. Amen. So, again, on the subject of enemies, I just want to highlight this scripture. I haven't put it in the notes, guys, but it's Ephesians 6, verse 12. Our enemies are not against flesh and blood, but against evil powers and spiritual authorities of this world's darkness. Now, I find this scripture really interesting. So, anything that has flesh and blood is not our enemy. So, in other words, all people who Jesus has died for are not our enemies. None of us, nobody in the flesh is an enemy. Amen? But you can't help but think, what about the guy outside the pub who's constantly taunting us and wants a fight? No, that's the spiritual authority of the world's darkness taking control of this man's life, aka Satan. We're called to be lovers of those who have fallen. Amen? As people, we need to have some kind of authority in our lives. When we go to work, we have a boss who we can approach for advice and for what work we must do for the day. We also have parents who love us and discipline our children, helping them to develop into adults who will one day be walking in their footsteps. But even if we do not realize, there are spiritual authorities at work which we cannot see, but they are working. Amen. For me, I see this church from where we started and where we're going. You know, there are spiritual authorities working right now in this place today. And I believe we've got a great future ahead of us, guys. Amen. Amen. Yes. Do we have the faith to believe in what we cannot see? If the Bible says it, then it's the truth. When we fly on an aeroplane, do we have faith that the pilot is qualified to fly? Or the air that we breathe, do we trust that it will not disappear one day? Whatever kingdom you choose to serve will either enslave you or equip you. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be a part of the kingdom that equips me. Yes. Amen. So again, I haven't got the scripture, guys, but this is in Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. And this is Jesus here talking about the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's a very, very small field. I mean, a very, very small seed. And probably my mum could probably back me up with this. But it becomes a large garden plant that grows into a tree and can even attract birds to nest within it. People need this mustard seed faith. God designed us to be people who will constantly grow until one day we will nest down in heaven together. Amen. Church, if our enemies were people, then why would God command us that we love thy neighbor? People without a shepherd are lost sheep. The world is living in ignorance and their hearts are hardened. Only Jesus can save them. Amen. And that is done for us. That's our jobs as Christians, is to go out there, preach the gospel, love the unloved, and bring them here to church. Amen? We need to show people the love that Jesus has shown to us. They cannot have the mindset that we're judging them when we approach them and reach out. We must reach out in love. That is what Jesus did, and he did not turn anyone away from him, no matter who they were. Has anyone here, whenever you talk to a non-Christian about God or share the word, you can sort of sense that they're feeling like they're being judged? That's a very difficult thing to do. I think it's, you know, you just need to love on them and show them the way, what's right, the truth. We need to share the word in a way that is urgent but loving. I've watched so many street preachers on YouTube, and I can see the urgency and love which they have for people. They need to have that seed sowing, urgent loving determination to loosen the enemy's grip over people. But there are many occasions when even demons can manifest when these evangelists preach. Even when the enemy is right in their face, trying to curse into the microphone or causing a scene, the preacher still remains bold because he knows that Jesus is with him and his love sets people free. Amen. You can have the chance to evangelize with someone. Just let them know that God loves them and let the love of God shine through you. Be a vessel, guys. Now, I want to, if we can, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read verses 4 to 7 together. Now, this, I think we're probably best reading it off of the board because I've got a different version here as well. But I just feel like we need to remind ourselves of what is love. And I love these scriptures in Corinthians. So, are we all there? All right, let's start. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Every circumstance. Remember that part. I bet there are many people who could share a testimony on how their heart has changed once Jesus had entered their life. All it takes is a little seed to be planted before a plant can go and begin to produce fruit. So why don't you remind your neighbor and give them a high five and tell them that God loves them? God loves you. Amen. Do you know I love doing this in church? I don't know why. Give me a high five. No. I've got another crazy vision for you, and this one I had whilst I was in Swaziland. I want you to picture this scene in your mind. There are two groups of children playing a game of tug of war. The children are all roughly the same age, and for some reason this vision happened on a sunny day, so I don't think it's taking place in Scotland. Must have still been in Swazi mode. Those groups, as soon as they grab that rope, they are at war with each other. They are competing kingdom against kingdom, and there can only be one winning team. When the game begins, all of the children are under great physical pressure to see their kingdom achieve victory. When one group adds a little more physical pressure, the opposite team feels it, until one team will eventually fatigue and give in, and the other team will win. Being a Christian is like a game of tug of war. Here we are, church, representing the kingdom of God, and on the other side of the rope, there's the masses of people in the world who hold the other side of the rope. The lost are representing Satan's grip on the earth. When you picture this in your mind, it looks like it's going to be a devastating defeat for God's kingdom because of the amount of people representing the other team. But church, receive this. When we view this clash of kingdoms from a spiritual view, if we look behind at the very end of the rope, there is Jesus right behind us, guys. And he is tying that rope right around his waist. And he is saying, I am with you. This contest has already been decided. Do not doubt. Amen. But if you look behind the masses of people lost on the other end of the rope, you'll see some sort of ugly, feeble, revolting demon called Satan. He has no physical strength, but he's the father of lies, manipulating the people with his words. When the game starts, the kingdoms go under great real pressure to win the world. Satan uses his lies, wars, persecutions, temptations, and all other sin to win the war, but he has failed. Jesus has shown us unconditional love, and his love has conquered all. As Christians, even though we are outnumbered, we have Jesus, and with his desire and love for the lost on the other team, we are slowly pulling the world towards us and eventually winning the game. Amen. I believe that's going to happen in our world. I really do. Unconditional love gives unconditional strength. Now, I've got a scripture in the Amplified Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And it says, "And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love." Amen. When we look at society from its current position and take our grace away from God, our gaze away from God, we can feel quite intimidated by all the acts of evil that we hear and see. But the truth is, the world is waiting for a light to vanquish the darkness. Guys, we are the light. If the world does not see your light, you are making many people blind. This place is blinding right now, you know, with the amount of lights in here. Amen? We are commissioned by Christ to be kingdom carriers with our King living inside of us. Let's bring his kingdom to others. Be strong, family. Our God is the God of love. Amen? The enemy underestimates the power of the kingdom of God. Look at how Lucifer fell and became Satan. Do you know, that vision I had of the tug of war game makes me think about the prophet Elisha and his servant. And funnily enough, I was telling Pastor Lassalette about this while I was in Swaziland, and she pointed it out to me. The prophet Elisha was in real danger of being captured by the king of Aram because of the important information he shared with the king of Israel. And I'm going to read from 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to 17. I think we've got it in, yeah, that's fine. So I'm just going to read out of my Bible, and it says, "Elisha's servant got up early, and when he went out, he saw an army with horses and chariots all around the city. The servant said to Elisha, 'Oh, my master, what can we do?' Elisha said, 'Don't be afraid. The army that fights for us is larger than the one that fights against us.' Then Elisha prayed, 'Lord, open my servant's eyes and let him see.' The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Guys, we may not see what God has in store for us, but I can tell you he's backing us. When things seem hopeless, I want to tell you there's a greater hope on our side. Amen. Jesus is for us, not against us. Amen. So in conclusion, although the Arameans had a large force which surrounded the city which Elijah was dwelling in, the servant then began to see all of God's horses and chariots which protected Elisha. We may not see our support from God, but it doesn't mean it's not there. Let's now look at Psalms 121, verse 7, and I've got this in the Amplified Bible. "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your life." If the enemy is trying to sever your relationship with God, go to your instruction manual. There are plenty of instructions you can declare to remind the enemy where his place is. Amen? Now, Joe, I just want to look at you a second. You're not in trouble. Nothing's wrong. I know you used to be a boxer, didn't you? but you must know a bit about UFC or MMA fighting. In MMA fighting or UFC, they fight in an arena called the Octagon. And I know this is quite popular with the TV and stuff. But I want to tell you, in that context, Satan has lost that contest even before he's entered the Octagon with Jesus. But if we were to face the world without Jesus, we are going to lose that fight. But why? Because the power and the authority of the kingdom comes from its king. As long as you serve Jesus, you have the access. If you have a close relationship with the king, the greater the use of the king's ability will be. Do you have the same desire as Jesus to pull down Satan's kingdom and bring home the lost? Now, I'm actually near the end of my message here, but I just want to call up Jeremy, if he can, to play the keyboard, if that's okay. Thanks, Jeremy. As you can probably guess, church, I like to play a few games, and I have quite a big imagination. You may be sitting there today, and you might feel that life is just a game of chess. You may be sitting thinking that, oh, all my pieces on the board have just been completely wiped out. My finances are gone. My family has been destroyed. All the things in life that I desire and treasure have been utterly and totally destroyed. It could even be your dream, which you've had since you were a young child. Satan has you in checkmate. But I want to share a revelation for you guys today. It's not checkmate until Jesus says so. You can still win. As the church, we are the Lord's bride, as the Bible says. We need to be ready for our wedding day, for when Jesus comes back for us. Now, I'm aiming this at the ladies quickly. Ladies, I understand that a wedding is such a big event that needs a lot of preparation, and the dress and everything is so important. I don't understand that, but that's fine. I'll probably find that out one day. So, in a context here, ladies, I know you like to style your hair and put on your makeup. If I'm still using that image of us being the bride and Jesus being the groom, styling our hair and putting on our makeup is like accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When we pick our dress, that's like preparing our heart and believing that he died and rose again on the third day, defeating death. And when we wait at the church for him to arrive, that's us beginning to confess with our mouth and declare that he is our Lord and Savior. Church, just before we close in prayer here, I just want to encourage you, are you ready to lay siege to Satan's kingdom? I'm ready. I'm more than ready. I'm prepared. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes a moment here. Speak in the Holy Spirit if you must, guys. But I just want to encourage you. This may have been a tough start to the year for many of us, but it's only the beginning. We've got great things planned ahead. As long as you stay connected to the Word of God, you're going to do great and mighty things for his kingdom. You are a knight of the most holy and high kingdom in existence. You are a warrior. You are a conqueror. In fact, you're more than a conqueror, the Bible says. So I just want to encourage you, without anyone looking around, with no shame or anything, if this is the first time you've heard about Jesus and this amazing man of what he's done in our life and how much he loves you, why not join the kingdom of God? Join his army. Join the winning side. And show the world the love that it needs. Are you ready to lay siege to Satan's kingdom? I'll say that again. If that's you in this place today, and you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, raise your hand this place today. Don't be ashamed. Jesus loves us all, and he wants the very best for us. He has the final say at the end of the day. Let's just keep speaking in the Holy Spirit, guys. Sirama Burugobo Santaramaka Samborogo Murugobo Salalambabara. Lila Lagubu Sambara Disini Maraku Marala Labu Kusumbu. Lila Lagabu Santa. Thank you. I'm very thankful for every soul and every body in this place today. Lord, I believe we're all saved in this place today. And I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, this message for me is a message of encouragement, Father God. Through the times that the world may press against us on that rope, but we have Jesus, and Jesus has more might than the world can possibly take. Father God, we are on the winning side. So I want to encourage all my brothers and sisters today to not give up. Jesus is with us. He said it to me, he'll say it to you. We are on the winning side and the world is ours for the taking, guys. So I just want to encourage you with that, and I just thank you for listening to the message in the video today. God bless you guys.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.